2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Been praying about where God would have us go. We're done with the series on faith, and I pray that that was a blessing to you. It helped me in many areas of my own personal life. And want to begin tonight with, I've been reading a book. I usually got two or three going, and I've got just a few more pages of this one book left, and I'll be through with this one. And just the title of it is one of the reasons that I bought it. Another reason was the author. I know the man that wrote the book and wanted it, and I know he's a good fundamental Bible-believing man. And I wanted to really read after him and learn some of the things that he had to say in the book. But want to deal with a subject tonight that every one of us are affected by in some way or another. And we're going to be dealing with the subject tonight of strongholds. And whether we realize it or not, every one of us deal with some type of stronghold in our lives. And the Word of God has got a lot to say about it, and in not maybe just in that word or that wording, but it's got a lot to say about strongholds. And like I say, I've been reading this book, and it's really helped me and opened my eyes to what a stronghold is, and realizing that some of the strongholds that are in my life. And I don't want something to hold me back from being all that God would have me be. And that's exactly what a stronghold in our lives can do, is it'll hold us back from becoming all that God wants us to be. And it'll cause us not to enjoy the Christian life like we should. And I want you to look with me, begin there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And I'll explain why Paul is writing this, and it'll help you to understand why he's addressing this issue. He said in verse number 1, he said, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." He goes on to say, he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." And we'll leave off reading right there for tonight. Paul is writing for the second time that we know of to the church at Corinth. If you were to go to the book of Acts, chapter number 18, you would see where Paul went into Corinth, and Paul founded this church that he's writing to. Corinth was a very carnal area. It was a very sinful, a very wicked area. And Paul had gone, led by the Spirit of God, had gone into Corinth and had started testifying and witnessing and preaching. And a church was born. The church at Corinth was born through the efforts of Paul. You'll go on to find out that Paul stayed there with them about a year and a half. I heard a preacher say the other day that some of these evangelists that just go in for a day or two and then they're gone, he said, why don't they do like Paul did after the example of Paul and go in and stay a year and a half and work with the people after they've evangelized the place? But anyway, Paul stayed there for a year and a half and worked with those people at Corinth and instructed them. He taught them. He went from house to house. He made relationships there and friendships with the people there. and got the church established at Corinth. And then when Paul, being led by the Spirit of God, went on to other areas, because of the wickedness that just laid in that parts of that region, there were some false teachers that crept into the church. And when they crept into the church, they started attacking Paul. And they started attacking his apostleship, his account of, or credibility. And they thought that if they could demean Paul, they could discount all that he had been teaching them and just infiltrate the church with some lies. And so Paul finds out about that. And now he's writing 2 Corinthians, and he says, there's some out there that would consider me after the flesh. And he didn't attack them right there. He went on to try to help the church at Corinth realize that there are strongholds that can come into our lives that can cause us to believe things that are not true. And when we believe things that are not true, we'll begin living what we believe. And he knew the damage that it was going to do to that church. He knew that it would damage the church to where it would become ineffective and inept as a church, and the spread of the gospel would be hindered, and the church would literally just die right there in Corinth. And so Paul began writing to them, and he addressed some of the issues that they had in the early part of 2 Corinthians. But now he turns to this matter of strongholds. And he wants them to understand this. He said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. May I say tonight that the enemy that we have is an unseen enemy. We're not fighting one another. And when we do fight one another, we've already lost the battle. We're not fighting fleshly beings. Our fight is an invisible fight. He said, and then he goes on to let them know that we've got some weapons that are not carnal, but are mighty to the pulling down of, and he mentions it, and this is the only time in the New Testament that this wording is used, strongholds. In reading the book that I've mentioned to you tonight, that I'm presently reading, I found out some things about some strongholds in my own life that I really did not consider to be a stronghold. And then I realized that they were a stronghold, and then I even realized in the light of the Scripture that there have been some strongholds in my life that's been hindering me from going on with the Lord and becoming all that I should be in the Lord. And I'm praying that God will give me victory over these strongholds. If you knew that something had a grip on your life to such a point that it was literally just hindering you from living life to its fullest, wouldn't you want that out of your life? Well, Paul addresses that in this text tonight, and he's trying to combat the false teaching that these false teachers are telling the people at Corinth. They know that if they can discredit Paul, they'll discredit his message, they'll discredit his methods and the way that he set up the church, but that they'll also discredit the mysteries that Paul told the Corinth church. You remember we sang tonight about the meeting in the air. Do you know where we get that from? From Paul. It was a mystery that was shown to Paul, and he showed it to the church at Corinth. He wrote it to the Thessalonians about us meeting together in the air one day. That's a great mystery. And these false teachers knew that Paul had been in there pumping truth into them and telling them stuff that was going to liberate their lives and just cause all kind of joy in that city. And if that spread, that it would just overrun that city and the gospel would would be effective in other lives. And the false teachers did not want that. Now, we know, well, I say the false teachers, we know the devil's behind that. And the devil did not want people getting saved. He doesn't want people getting saved in Merville, Georgia. He's still working effectively today. He's working not only in lost people's lives, but the devil is working in the minds of God's people and causing strongholds in our minds that prevent us from becoming all that God would have us be. I just mainly want to introduce this to your hearts tonight and get us all to look at this in light of Scripture. And the first thing that I want to deal with tonight, I want us to, number one, recognize strongholds. I want to give you a definition tonight of what a stronghold is. A stronghold is a place that has been fortified so as to protect it from attack. It's a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended or upheld. In other words, a stronghold is a place that has been fortified and strengthened to the point where it becomes a place of protection. It goes on to say, the definition goes on to say that it's also a place where a particular cause or a belief is strongly defended or upheld. We're nearing some elections, and there's different camps of people wanting the office of president. And they've all got their followers and backers and those that believe in them. And they're building up their fortresses. They're building up their strongholds, if you will, to try to promote their cause and try to promote them as being the candidate for president. A stronghold is something that is fortified and strengthened and that is strongly believed in. Let me give you what the Greek word signifies. It means to fortify, to hold safely. It literally means to build a castle around. That's what the word stronghold means. It means to actually build a castle around. It also means to possess directly or remotely by reigning over. Now, I want to point out something to you from our text tonight, and something very interesting to me. The first thing that Paul deals with is the pulling down of strongholds, which is, like I say, a fortified place. Then he talks about, in verse number 5, casting down imaginations. He goes on to talk about bringing every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God. And then he lastly mentions, and bringing into captivity every thought. You know what he's dealing with there? He's dealing with our minds, our thought process. You know, it's amazing what your minds will do to you. I thought I'd get one amen out of that. It's amazing what our minds will cause us to do. The Bible says over there in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 23 and verse number 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Our minds are impressionable. Our minds will consider something and think about something. And brethren, if we think about it long enough, we'll become what we're thinking about. And Paul said that, listen, he said, these false teachers have come in among you. He said, and what they've been doing is pumping lies in front of you to try to get you to think on these lies. And he said, you need to bring down these strongholds of lies that has encompassed your minds. You know, our minds are so built that when we sin, we have thought about it a long time before we actually commit it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Paul said it was important that we bring down strongholds, that we tear down imaginations, that we get rid of any high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to go on with some definitions for you, so we'll just get a grasp of what we're going to be dealing with in these sermons. A stronghold is something strongly believed to be true to the point you're willing to defend and argue for it. That's what a stronghold is. You believe what you believe so strongly about it that you're willing to argue with somebody about what you believe. You're ready, what you believe in your mind, you're ready to go to defense about it. You believe it that strong. That's a stronghold. All right? Now, let's define the imaginations. An imagination is a fancy. Something not necessarily true, but you imagine it to be so. Anybody ever had an imagination? They say that that's where our creativity comes from. Our imaginations. And I can partly believe that. But I'll be honest with you. I've had some imaginations I wish I hadn't had. I believe stuff to be true that I never saw, that I never saw it happen, but I just believed it was true. And come to find out that it was a complete lie. You see, my mind had me tricked into believing something that was only an imagination. Can I apply that? Some of you are in here worrying about tomorrow, and tomorrow's not even a reality yet. Boy, it's getting mighty lonely up here. You see, we get to imagining what can happen tomorrow. What might be. That's an imagination. And that imagination robs you of enjoying today. Worrying about what happened. I shouldn't say this since she's not here. My wife has got a way of trying to get me to worry. I'm trying to word this just right. I do believe it to be so. I believe it's a woman thing. She tries to get me to worry about, but John, what if this happened? Or what if that? I said, we're going to do exactly what we're doing right now. We're going to trust God. I believe that's what the head of the home's put there for. After all, it was the woman that the devil went to in the garden. And how did the first sin enter the universe? He just talked to the woman. And got her to believing in her mind a lie. And that's how sin came into the world, was by believing a lie. It was an imagination that could have been brought down by the truth, but it wasn't. You see how important our thought processes control our lives? How important it is for us to check everything by the book and by truth? He goes on to talk about the high things. That's an elevated thought that is so high, it has a barrier built around it against anything contradicting it. In other words, we believe it so strongly that we're not going to believe, I don't care what that preacher said. I've had people tell me that. I've just picked up the book and just read them passages out of the Bible. And they said, that's your interpretation. I said, I haven't interpreted nothing. We've just read what the Word of God says. See, that's a high thing that is so high, you're not going to let anything get above what you think. Every stronghold, every imagination, every high thing, and every thought. That's just our perception of things. If there's anybody in here that is 100% right, please stand up. I am not going to tell y'all what I just saw. You see, we, all of us have some error in the way we look at things, the way we perceive things to be. And the thought of a stronghold, it literally means this in context of what Paul's dealing with. It means to reign over your mind. It means to have a fortress set over your mind. And it's got your mind. The mind controls your life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is it. It'll control your life. The way you perceive, the perceptions you have about God will control your prayer life. The way that we perceive God will control what we bring to Him. Oh, God's not interested in that, so we don't bother God with that. I read in my Bible that He's interested in everything. Facet of our lives. Not just what we consider to be the big things, but He's interested in every area of our lives. And the perceptions that we have of God, the perceptions that we have of family, the perceptions that we have of church, the perception that we have of ourselves, the perception that we have of other people, it controls our life. You remember whenever the nation of Israel, the Israelites, they finally got out of the wilderness and God raised up Joshua to lead them into the promised land. Do you remember whenever they crossed over the Jordan River, do you remember the first thing they encountered? They encountered the city of Jericho. You know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of a stronghold. And God wanted it tore down. Why? We're not told why God wanted Jericho tore down, other than He told the nation of Israel what to do and what would happen if they did what He told them to do. He told them under the leadership of Joshua. You remember not too long ago we dealt with that. And they went up against Jericho. They marched around it for 6 days, one time each day. And on the seventh day, they went around it seven times. And it said that the walls of Jericho fell down flat. Now, let me talk about those walls just a minute. Those walls were so thick. They say that those walls, that chariots, two chariots abreast, could ride across the top of the walls of Jericho. The walls were so thick that people built their houses in the walls, and it was considered to be a place of safety and protection. Matter of fact, that was one of the drawing points of Jericho. People would hear about Jericho, and they would think, man, if I can just make it to Jericho, I will be safe and protected for the rest of my life. There was not one bit of arsenal that was built by man that could break down the walls of Jericho. And there it stood as a monument to man's masterpiece of a stronghold. God sent the nation of Israel to it. And the first thing they encountered was God bringing down a stronghold on their behalf. Why do you think God did that? Because they had just come out of the wilderness. They had been around all of the murmuring, complaining, backslidden, all of those that wanted to be back in Egypt. They'd been around them. They'd seen them die off in the wilderness. And God brought them into the promised land. And He wanted them to realize there were some strongholds in their lives that needed to come down. And matter of fact, you know what God said? It was not the nation of Israel that brought those walls down. It was God that brought those walls down. It was not them marching around that caused those walls to fall. They were just being obedient to what God told them to do. It was God that brought those strongholds down. You know what God said? He said, "Cursed be the man that builds Jericho back." He said, "He'll lay the foundation in his firstborn." And did you know a man did that years later? And his firstborn and his younger son died the day that the man started building Jericho back. God was using that as an illustration of strongholds in all of our lives that must come down in our lives for us to truly inherit the promised land like God wants us to have it. There's the definition of a stronghold. But I want to describe some strongholds to you tonight. I want us to first look at some obvious strongholds. One of the most obvious strongholds that we see in our society, in our generation, is alcohol. And how alcohol will begin early in a person's life, maybe, and they'll just, because of peer pressure. And by the way, peer pressure is a stronghold. They're worried about what the peers think about. That's a stronghold. And so they begin with a drink, and they take that drink, and they're doing it for fun. I remember the first drink I ever had, it tasted horrible. I remember the first cigarette I ever tried to smoke, it was horrible. I don't know anybody's lungs that just accept smoke the very first cigarette that they smoke. And they begin drinking the alcohol, and then they begin, because of the company they keep doing it, and they keep doing it, and they company with others that do it because they enjoy it now, and then they say that they're doing it because they like it. But that what they don't understand is the alcohol. They're not controlling the alcohol. The alcohol is now controlling them. To the point where if they get around that company, if they get around that event and tailgate, they cannot do it without the alcohol. It has now got them. It is not them going to the store and buying it. It's the alcohol buying them. And now that's a stronghold in their life. Drugs is another stronghold. These are obvious strongholds in people's life. Drugs is a stronghold that gets a hold of somebody's life. And they think, man, I've got this. This gives me so much enjoyment. But they don't realize that what they're doing is allowing a stronghold to get a hold of their life to where they're not in control of it any longer. It is. What about immoral sex? And by the way, there's not but one kind of moral sex there is. And that's one woman, one man married in the eyes of God. Amen. The marriage bed is undefiled and honorable in the eyes of God. And any sex outside of that is immoral sex. I don't care how Hollywood paints it. I don't care how the world tries to describe it. Any sex outside of that is immoral sex. But there are people that have a strong hold of immoral sex in their lives. They can't live without it. Pornography. And there's so many facets of all of these strongholds that I'm mentioning to you tonight. There's so many variants of it out there that it becomes a stronghold in people's lives. And they have to do it to live. What about the stronghold of gambling? This could be the day. And they say, and they believe that so strong that they're willing to take money away from their family to go buy the lottery tickets because this could be the day. They're not in control of it. It's a stronghold. What about the stronghold of money? Some people have trouble with money. And it becomes a stronghold in their life. The Bible tells us to labor not to be rich. There's not one thing wrong with making money. Matter of fact, there's many passages in the Bible that commend people for making money. But the love of money is the root of... You know what's wrong in Washington? The love of money is the root of all... That's what's wrong with Washington. And money becomes a stronghold in people's lives. Well, that's just a few of the obvious strongholds. Can I mention some of the obscure strongholds? What about pride? Pride gets a hold of a person's life, and the Bible says these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto Him, and the first thing is pride. And the Bible tells us that God resisteth the proud, and pride becomes a stronghold. I don't need help. I can handle this. That's just a manifestation of pride in a person's life. What about the stronghold of anger? And anger has got hold of somebody's life so strong that they're mad at somebody else, and the other person, they're living their lives, and there's the person with the anger. And it's like a cancer eating them. It's become a stronghold in their life. They can't even enjoy life because of anger, the stronghold of anger. What about the stronghold of bitterness? Being bitter at somebody, bitter, just got a bitter complaining, griping, ain't nothing right. Just bitter all the time. It's a stronghold that gets a hold of our lives and keeps us from being who God wants us to be. What about the stronghold of unforgiveness? Well, you just don't know what they did to me. No, but God does. God knows what they did to you. Look what we did to His Son. Amen. The stronghold of unforgiveness. What about the stronghold of laziness? Some people, honestly, they're too lazy to breathe. If it wasn't just a natural reflex, they'd be dead. Amen. It's all they can do to breathe air. Laziness is a stronghold in some people's lives. What about rebellion? Rebellion is a stronghold. They're just going to rebel against anybody telling them to do anything. That's why some people can't keep a job. They just got a rebellious stronghold in their lives. What about the stronghold of fear? Just being afraid that something might happen at any moment. Possibly could. I'm glad I'm saved. That's all I can say. Thank God I'm saved. Amen. What about the stronghold of worry? Just all the time worrying. What about the stronghold of depression? These are just some obscure strongholds that gets hold of somebody's life so strong that they become indebted to that stronghold. What about the stronghold of the past? Can't get over the past. God got over it. Let me just give you some scriptures concerning these obscure things. Pride, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you. Anger, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Bitterness, and be not bitter against them. Unforgiveness, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, so do ye. What about laziness? If any would not work, neither should he eat. Amen. I love that. What about rebellion? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Fear, let not your heart be troubled, out of the very lips of Jesus Christ Himself. What about worry? Take no thought for tomorrow. And we worry about that more than anything else. Tomorrow. tomorrow? What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? And we worry, worry, worry. And it becomes a stronghold that we can't even enjoy what God's given us today. You're here tonight, got a belly full of food in it. Amen. And God's taking care of you today. Hallelujah. What about depression? The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Depression is a stronghold in a person's life. And what about the past? Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward. You see, these things, we don't look at them as strongholds, but we've got to recognize strongholds in all of our lives that get a grip on us to keep us from being all that God wants us to be. I want to enjoy the fullness of Christ in my life. I want to enjoy the fullness of Christ in this church. I want to see God do things in my life and through my life. I want to see God do things in my family. There's certain things in my family I'm praying for. Certain things in this church I'm praying for. I don't want to be a hindrance to what God's wanting to do. Strongholds. The deception. I want to deal with this. We've defined it. We've discussed some of them. But I want to talk just lastly, and we're done, about the deception of strongholds. Did you know a stronghold is a good thing? I threw some of you right there, didn't I? Nahum chapter 1, verse 7 says this. Every time we think of stronghold, we always think of it in a negative light, don't we? I mean, you think of a stronghold tonight after all we've been through right now. I mean, we're in bad shape, ain't we? But a stronghold is a good thing. Nahum 1, verse number 7 says this. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. What is a stronghold? It is a fortified place, a strength, a rock, a defense. And brethren, when we replace all of the imaginations, all of the thoughts, all of the fears, all of the worries, when we replace them with what the Word of God says about it, brother, that's victory, that's liberty. Hey, listen, our thought process is one stronghold. If we give in to one stronghold, which is a lie, it will just keep us beat down all of our lives. But if we give in to the stronghold of truth and run to the stronghold of truth and God's Word, hey, that is a liberating force in our lives. It is a place of refuge for us. Brethren, when I got saved, I had believed a lie for 29 years. I fell in love with this book. I fell in love with what it was telling me, what it was saying to me, how it was changing my life. But brethren, I've got to admit, I've let some strongholds get a hold of my mind. It's keeping me from being all that God would have me be. I want to give you a verse of Scripture tonight. I'm not going to quote it. I want you to look at it. I want you to come to 1 John. I want you to look at this. I want to ask you something tonight. While you're turning to 1 John, look up here just a minute. Do you see any castle built around me? Do you see any walls built around me? But I got strongholds in my life. See, the strongholds that we're talking about are not visible. That's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not something that you're going to break down in your own might. The strongholds that we're talking about is in our minds. I want you to look in 1 John chapter 4. I want to show you a verse of Scripture. You know, some people think, well, God just don't love me anymore. God just don't care about me. Has anybody ever heard that? Have you ever heard that voice? God just don't care about me anymore. How many times I've heard that voice? And how many times my little self-pity and self wanted to think it? God just don't love me anymore. How many times I've heard that portrayed in my mind. God don't care about what you're going through right now. God don't care about those family problems. God don't care about those financial problems. God don't care about those church problems. God don't care about all of that. He's just over all of that in your life. Has anybody ever heard voices like that? Boy, I'm telling you what, you know what it is? He don't care. He don't care what kind of stronghold he'll set up in your life. He just wants a stronghold set up. He knows that most of you in this room, he's not going to get you to go sit in a bar and drink or run around on your spouse. He knows that, but he'll get you with a stronghold of depression, stronghold of worrying, a stronghold, anything to keep you from becoming all that God wants you to be. Look in 1 John chapter 4. I want you to look at this. Verse number 17, just one verse of Scripture. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Watch it. Because as He, Jesus Christ, is, so are we in this world. Brethren, if we could just believe that stronghold and live that way, we could walk through this life victorious in our Christian walk. We could run to that and say, you know what, just like Jesus Christ is right now, that's how I am in this world. And we could live according to the Word of God instead of what our minds have imagined to be so. I want to ask you something tonight. Who was it that destroyed the stronghold at Jericho? God. All the Israelites did was obey what God told them to do. And God took care of the stronghold. You know what we think? Well, we got to have 15 steps. If I can just learn the 15 steps and get them in order and do those 15 steps, you know, in order every day according to those 15 steps, then I might make it through today. It's going to be God taking down the strongholds in our life, or they won't come down. They will not come down. I want to ask you something. When we started out tonight, I mentioned that all of us have them. Has God put His finger on maybe just something that's just got a grip on your mind? So strong. So strong that it just keeps pulling you to it. We're going to be entering into a 3-day fast. That would be a good thing to pray over. That would be a good thing to begin saying, God, I want it out of my life. And I need truth to set me free in my mind. Brethren, when I started seeing what I started seeing from all of this, I thought, my God, how I have deceived myself and failed the Lord by allowing these strongholds. You know, traditions are strongholds that churches get into. You know, that's the way we've always done it. A stronghold. I don't want any strongholds other than that book in my life. And when my mind starts lining up with that, I'll start enjoying the Lord and living for Him. Let's all stand tonight.